Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Amen.
Amen, it sure is. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all together we said,
amen.
Amen, because the Scripture, that's what it says, Ephesians 3:20 and 21. The psalmist writes in Psalm 20 and verse 7, and he says, some trust in chariots. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's who we trust in. And what a great decision that is for a person to make in their life. That is, that they would trust in the Lord. We know that the Bible speaks openly, continuously, in numerous places throughout the covers, Old Testament, New Testament, about trusting in God and leaving ourselves and bringing ourselves into a relationship with Him. It's up to you. It's all up to you. It's your decision to make. We've been talking about that for a couple of weeks. We're going to get some things, I hope, today that'll be practical for us. And I want to encourage you to continue to study these kinds of things, hoping that these are just sort of opening up avenues or turning on light bulbs for you to carry on in your personal Bible study. In Philippians chapter 1, we read the Apostle Paul, as he has said to us, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, judgment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, excellent, of greater value, says the definition of the Greek term, something of greater value, in order, the purpose of, and the reason is, that we might be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. In other words, when Jesus returns. Having been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which God through, which comes through Jesus Christ our Lord, to be the glory and the praise of our God. It's up to us. Changing your life by making one decision at a time. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said to you that Rosemary was the best decision I made in my life. But she's not the only decision that I made in my life. I made a lot of other decisions as well, just like you have. Now, I don't know what you would say is the decision that led you to be a follower of Christ. You may remember back at some kind of event that was taking place in your life, and when you finally decided that you would trust in the Lord your God, that you would follow Him, that would be, of course, approving something better, of greater value, some greater life that you might have. And I'm saying to you that you are what you are because that's what you've chosen. You're here today, you're in this place in your life, and you've made that choice to be there. We talked about a fellow by the name of Solomon who took over the reigns after his father had passed away, and he became the king in Israel. And God visited him in a dream. You remember that as we talked about that? And he came and he said to Solomon, anything you want, I will give you. That's a pretty nice deal, isn't it? When God says, anything you want, I will give you. I think an interesting thing I hope that you might get out of what comes out of the New Testament study is that what we need is what God delivered in Jesus Christ. Amen? Far greater than what we might ever ask for, far greater than what we might ever expect for ourselves, is an eternal life in Him. But when Solomon made his request, instead of asking for something just particularly for him, that is like riches or things or material things, he asked the Lord to give him a discerning heart. A heart that would be able to make good decisions. To be able to choose between right and wrong. And I know that that's what we strive to do each and every day. And I said to you last week that decisions make a difference. They make a difference in my life or your life as you're making them, but that we always want to remember that there are other people who it also makes a difference for. Okay? And that's why it is that that young gal invites that young fella to come home to meet her parents. They want to make a decision. I could tell you a funny story about that, but I'm going to keep on my notes today because I want us to finish up with some thoughts here. But it influences other people. Decisions affect our character, the things that we do. Decisions bring with it consequences. And sometimes even though we're forgiven of the sin, the consequences are still there for us to deal with. So, having said that, the first question I asked to you was, what was the decision that helped you to follow Christ, or what changed your life and sent you in the right direction? Now, here's the second question for us. Why is it so hard to make simple decisions? Why is it so hard to make simple decisions? Now, we make them all the time. You've probably already decided where you're headed for lunch. And you're thinking that, well, whenever that preacher gets done, we'll all go. And I hope we beat the Baptist over there, because otherwise we'll be there late. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of a decision, but we do make a lot of decisions all the time. In fact, our lives are filled with making decisions about what to do. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care anywhere you want to go. Well, let's go to so-and-so. I don't like that place. You know what I'm talking about. It's difficult to make the decision sometimes, even when they are of the simplest nature. But I'm not really talking about, and I don't think God is saying to us or talking to us when He's talking about approving things that are excellent, are these minor things or things in our everyday life, even though they can become major things. It's really difficult to make good, more valuable kinds of decisions. And there are a number of things that affect that. There are a number of things that challenge us in regard to that. Because, first of all, in our society today, we have a philosophy that is just sort of running rapid, if you will, that's called moral relativism. Moral relativism. And it teaches us that truth is just simply relative. This is why people struggle with what is right or what is wrong. It says that truth varies from person to person, from place to place, or from time to time, or maybe we might say it from circumstance to circumstance. And it gets embedded into our culture in such a way that it affects us no matter what. What's right for you might not be right for me, very often says. And yet does, when you think about it, does truth actually vary like that? In other words, if truth is truth, does it apply to you the same way as it applies to me? You think about that. When my parents were growing up, there were probably things that they thought of as being wrong. I'm probably glad that they don't see, because they're both gone, they don't see some of the things that are in our world today. They probably wouldn't believe that, but that would probably be the case with most any generation, wouldn't it? Things are different. Things do change. What was wrong to do back in that time might be okay to do today. Truth changes from the individual to the individual is what moral relativism says. From place to place, from time to time. They can do that over there, but can't do it over here. This is why we all struggle with the idea of what's good and what's evil. Now, I don't think that this audience has a problem with understanding what's good. We know what's good, and in fact, we might even say that in a general sense about the world population. Most of the time, almost everybody really knows what's good. It's whether or not they're going to do what is good. What really is evil? How would we go about defining what was evil? Or how do you go about defining what is evil? What's the simplest way for you? The things that go against or in opposition to what God teaches us, I think, is one very simple way of us knowing. That's why we want to know what our Bible says, isn't it? We can know that evil is that which doesn't come in line with biblical truth. And that's why we struggle with so many of these things, because we have other people telling us what is right or what is good and what is evil and what is not. Moral relativism says you can't be really sure about anything. Now, we had Bible study this morning. In our Bible class, we were in the book of Jude. There's a verse there in that lengthy chapter of this book of the Bible. You know it's not a lengthy chapter. There's not a lot of words in this book. But these are some very powerful ones. Jude 3. Beloved, it says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you about the common salvation, or of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to encourage you, exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith, that which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith, he says, objective kind of faith, not a subjective kind of faith, but an objective kind of faith. Now, I know that we live in a world where people very often say everyone needs to find your truth. Find your truth. Is it your truth? If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. This is found in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31. And at verse 32, it will tell us that then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth. God's truth. You see, it's not our truth that we're seeking. It's His truth that we're seeking. In fact, You might recall in the first story about the first people in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 and following, you'll read the story of the fall in the garden. And one of the trees, or the tree that they were prohibited from eating from, was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't even have to mess with that until that fatal day, and that happened. And they found out about evil. Evil, of course, is that which would violate anything that God would tell us in reference to the fruit of the Spirit of God Himself. What He shares with us in His Word. It's possible to know the truth. You can know what is right. You can know right from wrong, even though it seems to be so clouded today. That's why making good decisions, approving things that are excellent, are so important. In Psalm 119, verse 89, the psalmist wrote and said, "It is settled in the heavens." The reference there was to whatever God had said and what was done. That's where the settling came from. In other words, truth does not change. Truth is not a moving target. God doesn't tell us falsehoods, but He represents truth to us. Two major choices: choosing good over evil, right over wrong. And the challenge to that is this idea of moral relativism. What is your truth is yours. What's good for you is good for you. Maybe not good for me. That's what we're hearing in our world. Now hear the words of Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And I guess, Arabella, we could put salt and salty in that as well. Whatever changes, or whatever things that have been written for truth, very often people want to change to the opposite. And one of the reasons it's hard to choose between good and evil, right from wrong, is that our world has so changed so drastically in terms of people who believe in what is right and what is wrong. Now, my teachers, coaches, I'll say business owners or people that I came into contact as a young person, they all believe basically the same way. I want to tell you a story about an elder in the church early on. He used to like to share stories with me when I was a very young preacher out in California. And he had moved to California in the late 1800s. And he started a business of construction and building homes. And he said back then all they did was he made an agreement with someone and they shook hands and they built a house. He went to the bank, and he went down to the bank and the people which he knew, and he told them what he needed and what he needed it for, and they shook hands, and he built a house and borrowed the money to do it. Now, can anybody picture that today? Well, we would probably be here all day long if we tried to ask, well, why is that? But we all know why that is. And that's because not everybody can be trusted to deliver on their word. But as a Christian, here's what I'm saying to you, and I believe this is what Paul is writing to the people at Philippi. Learning to approve the things that are excellent so that you can be a sincere person who is without offense on the day of Christ. That is, when Jesus comes back. If you look out in our world today, I think you'll see that there's a lot of things that people that maybe don't understand exactly what God is telling us, that good is now evil and evil is good. That is, if it's so deemed by you. If you, the person, gives the rationalization for it to be true, it can be true. And that's how it's working in our world today. Woe unto them that would call evil good, rationalizing all kinds of different things. And I know that you can come up with your scenarios, numerous ones, about all of this. Now, I want you to know that I don't believe that as a Christian person, we want to be hateful about anything. We want to be loving. We don't want to be holier than thou in that kind of an approach. But as the writer Jude said, that we must contend earnestly for the faith. We must speak the truth to our world. I know it says, judge not that you be not judged, Matthew 7 and verse 1. But in this case, we're not talking about judgment. In fact, that judgment is talking about an eternal judgment, isn't it? More than it is about what a person is doing. But we must learn how to do this. But I want to tell you that if you're going to be a person who stands up for what is good and you say something back about it, I'm going to suggest that you be ready for the blowback. Because somebody is probably going to say to you, well, who made you the judge? You're just being judgmental. You're simply saying what the Bible calls indecent or wrong, wrong, if you're doing it by Scripture. Moral relativism says, no, you're wrong. Is there right to love any way or to live any way they want to live if they feel it's right for them? Some will say, God makes me this way. This is the reason I do this. And that's my right then, therefore, to do it. Who do you think you are that you can tell us how to run our life? If you think it's easy for our kids today to go to school in the midst of all of us cultural influence, after we've had them at Bible school on Sunday, they're going to spend 5 days at school, and probably most of the time they're going to be told that all of that stuff that they learned at Bible class is just not so. Our world doesn't even believe you can determine right or wrong. Absolute truth. It's not easy. We're talking about making improved decisions. You're teaching the inspired word of God as being right, even when the world says, no, it's wrong. Remember, Solomon's prayer was to give me an understanding heart so that I may discern between good and evil. I want to just make a suggestion to you today. Have you prayed about that? I mean, have you prayed for God to help you to know the difference between good and evil? Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. That's what Isaiah said. It's simply up to you. It's up to you to make those decisions. People are doing what they call good and calling it, they're doing what they call what would be evil, and they're calling that good. Because they've made the choice to do that. And all of this, I'm just saying to you, is important for us. enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Narrow is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's what God was telling us. When I was going to school up in Portland, Oregon, the way the buildings were situated, whenever we would leave chapel, everybody cut across the yard. The groundskeepers, you can imagine, did not like that. There was several little cow trails that went back across the yard, and the grass didn't grow there. The maintenance people went to the president of the school and said, "This is tearing us up. We can't get the kids to replant and replant, and you ask us to keep up the yard and get the grass going, et cetera, et cetera." So the president says, "I have the solution." So he had them build a sidewalk. Now, what do you think? Did it get rid of everybody walking across the grass? Nah, not really. It helped in that one particular area, but people like to walk across the grass. I guess because they just don't know. Now, the president had a good idea. He was trying to help them out by being able to take care of a problem. But listen, in life, it's not like that. You can't just make a decision to go in a different direction just because you don't like it. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's what the Bible says. And that's what's happening. Truth is to be unchanging. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14 and 12. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have you ever heard anybody say, "Follow your heart"? Well, I think there's a pretty popular TV channel that practices that quite a bit. Psalm 143, verse 10. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." That was the psalmist's prayer. I know that you're going to be criticized when you make a stand for the truth, but I want to encourage you to try to overcome that. That you can be a person who approves the things that are excellent. That's what the Scripture teaches us. And I hope that you realize that that's all up to you. It's your decision to choose to follow what God has said and for it to be the right thing in your life. I hope that will encourage you to live your life for Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to follow Him in every way we possibly can to help you. We want to. Bill has a song for us to sing. If you want to come and make your wishes known, why don't you come while we stand and sing?